Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. We're finally at Thursday. Today is November 17th. It's exactly a week away from Thanksgiving. Yes, it's coming up. Yummy. And I can't believe it. So today we have a special show. We have a couple of guests, separate guests. So what we're going to do is we'll bring in our studio guest right now. And then we're going to take a call from our caller. We're going to have a musical guest on the phone. So we'll play some music. That'll be cool. So, Tori, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We can go home now.
All right. Thank All you. Right. It's a wrap. It's a wrap on Sam and Tori.
So, our pleasure is to be joined by Paul Paget of Rockers for Wildlife Radio. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thank you.
And Paul is... has been, how many shows, four or five already did you do?
No, I think we're at nine. We started in
Are you
September.
Serious? You see, this always happens to me. People do like 100 shows, and I think they only did five, you know. But because there's so much going on, you know.
Absolutely.
But Paul is very energetic. He bounces off the walls 24 hours a day. I don't know when you sleep, Paul.
I don't.
You sleep a lot?
I don't. I'm about 4 or 5 hours at best. Sometimes
really?
I'll have a couple day runs, depending on if we're working
really?
On sets and
Whoa.
Editing or whatever it is, or I might be, you know, like we did the sand fire, so that was 5 days straight through with no sleep.
Wow.
I was taking little cat naps, little 15 minute power naps in between, but you know the animals needed saved, so
yeah.
How do you sleep?
Right, and you're going to tell us all about
yes.
the stuff that you do and
mm-hmm.
everything. Sounds very interesting,
oh,
you know.
Yeah.
And Paul is full of experiences and very busy man. And now you're driving a Stingray Corvette, huh?
Boy, I'll tell you, traffic kind of nabbed me this morning.
Right.
You know, you plan for a specific time.
Right.
I left early, and then traffic dictated differently. But when it opened up, I opened up that Stingray.
You opened up that Stingray. There you go.
Room.
You know. It does. In LA, you can get a sports car, but sometimes you don't get to drive it very fast.
Yeah. Well, you got that right. Need the Autobahn for that thing.
Yeah, there you go. Well, congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That, Paul.
I appreciate
so,
it.
So let's, before we get into what you do and everything, let's talk about your show, plug the show a little bit.
Right.
Rockers for Wildlife Radio. Tell us what that's about.
Well, it spawned off when I was working with Slack. We were saving animals at the wildlife waste station, and he saved a panther that I called him on, and we did a big spot. We ended up generating a lot of money to save the animals up there, and bam, Rockers for Wildlife spawned. And so the name kind of is deceiving. I'm an old rocker from back in the day, so
it's
I'm
not
rocking.
Deceiving.
No,
it's not deceiving at all.
I'm just rocking for wildlife,
yeah.
But the wildlife is humans and animals.
Right.
I think the more wildlife is the humans.
Right,
though.
There you go. So you didn't have to make the distinction there. It'd be just Rockers Radio,
yeah,
and we
it.
Would know. But so this is very interesting. Now, let's find a little bit about you. Are you originally from L.A.?
No, I am from Oklahoma. I'm French Hick, so I'm a frick.
Whoa! I love that.
He's a frick. He's giving it some thought.
I like that. French Hick.
I'm a French Hick.
Yeah.
Oui, oui.
Oui,
yeah.
Oui.
Oh, wait, that's when I went to the bathroom earlier.
That's a French Hick joke.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good.
You can always go to the Batafkas. You know, that one always sounds French to me.
That sounds like Peter Sellers.
Yeah, you know, Batafkas, madame.
Does your dog bite?
Yeah.
I love that part. I like the part where he's going in the globe and he just falls over.
Oh,
God, Peter Sellers.
It's not my dog.
Oh, God, it is not my dog. My side note, I volunteered when I first moved here at the Wildlife Waste Station.
Boom, slap that.
Really? There you go, wow. With the tigers.
Love it.
And I learned to chuff, which is when you go, and they would chuff back at you. And then I worked with the bears, but mostly at Clean Poop, which was great.
You enjoyed that.
I loved it, but I mean, yeah. I really wanted to get into wildlife and maybe look into, you know, look into it for a little bit, but I just absolutely loved it. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Well, Paul is the man to talk to.
Oh,
if you
I know.
Get back into
fantastic.
It. Stuff, you know,
I know. Chuff it out, babe. Chuff it out.
Paul's very active. And I connect with you because we're from the same generation, pretty
yes,
much. You
absolutely.
Know, we remember things that Tori may not remember. Only saw in history books and stuff, right?
Yeah.
We're that old.
Rotary dial phone.
Yeah. My friend, when I grew up, my friend thought that called, there was the only rotary phone was in her church, and she thought it was to call God.
Really?
She didn't know. She thought it was special because it reached God.
So she's over there at God, and it's the priest over there.
Yeah.
Yes, can I
Hello?
Help you?
Yeah. Or the operator. Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
You've reached God's red doing? Line.
Yeah, right? Isn't
yeah.
that funny?
You see, those were days that they had phone operators, you know. I worked as a phone operator when I was 20 years old. You
wow.
know, it was funny. We were four guys and 400 women working there, and it was amazing. It was the best experience ever. But no, we didn't have the connecting, the wires. We already had like a board.
Oh, nice.
But they were old. I mean, I'm talking right. about in the 70s, 80s, you know.
Yeah, it looks like kind of NASA stuff back in their old Apollos.
Right, exactly. So I'd go like, operator, may I help you? And they'd go, yeah, I'd like to make a collect call. And that was my job.
Good Lord. That's yeah. like in
Boy, that
movies
is
for
old
me.
School.
That is old school.
Right?
I remember those days. Wow, we hadn't talked about that in a long time.
You're like
time.
Butterfield 838.
Yes. We don't have any operators, right?
No.
What about even directory assistance? We don't
no.
have any.
No.
Oh, right?
I totally
Nobody
forgotten about
it.
That.
Yeah.
It's called Google, people.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Isn't that
you know?
A trip? I've never thought about yeah. that. 411 is gone.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Wow.
That's true.
Boy.
So, yeah, there
we're,
you go.
We're all digital, baby.
Yeah. So, you were born in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Do you have any siblings?
I do. I've got a brother that's 16 months younger than me, and I've got a brother that's 15 years younger than me,
wow.
and they're still back
wow.
there.
So, you're the oldest?
I am.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you come across as a firstborn.
I am
pretty
a firstborn,
you know?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
all
we
of
have
you.
To achieve a lot.
God.
Yeah, to be accepted.
To be
just
honest,
to be like,
he's right. Like, as the baby, I did have to poop in my diapers. What a golden child.
Oh,
this
man.
Child is Moses.
I hated dirty diapers, so I got out of diapers as early as I could.
Yeah.
I was just that. I would have delivered myself if I could have reached my hand out and pulled my head out. And when the doctor slapped me on the ass, I was like, you don't need to slap
I'm
me. I'm
good.
Breathing. I'm good.
Good.
Yeah,
so ready
you,
for life.
So you're that independent. You do things your
Extremely.
Way.
Extremely. There's no yeah. other way to do it, because if you do it somebody else's way, you're not living your life.
That's the rock and roll.
That's true.
There's his rock and roll part.
Yeah.
I'm a rebel, baby.
Yeah,
I'm a gypsy.
Go. There you go.
I'm a refined gypsy.
Yeah, I like your like words. You're French hick. You're a refined gypsy. You're good at these labels.
Yeah, he knows who he is.
Yeah.
Now, what was your childhood like? Did you guys have a good childhood?
You know what? There was a lot of love around, but I got to be honest. You know, I'm all about transparency. My mom and dad were married like 8 times between the two of them before I was 20.
Wow.
And so I never knew if I was coming or going, but I started my, you know, there was a lot of turmoil. But there was a good side. My mom and all that was great. But I ended up, and it built me to what I am today. So I wouldn't, if you dropped a time machine
sure.
here on me right now,
you wouldn't change.
I wouldn't change a millisecond. That had to happen because
wow.
of what I am as a life coach and somebody that helps other people. How can you honestly help somebody if you haven't lived it? You know,
that's true.
You can't read a dummy's guide and go in and try to, it doesn't work.
Right.
And so I know what it's like to reach up to touch bottom. I believe in the sweet and sour of life. Without the sweet, there is no sour. And without the sour, there is no sweet. So that dichotomy has to be in place. But I started my first company at 7.5 years old.
Wow.
Are you serious?
I had a thriving landscaping business with 3 employees by the time I was 8.5.
Whoa.
What was it called? Do you have a name?
No, it was just Paul's Landscaping.
Okay, that's
well,
a name.
I guess that's
a name.
I ended up with 93 regular customers.
Whoa.
Yeah, and that's an interesting story within itself. It's a long story.
So you were born salesman. I mean,
I was.
Right?
I actually genetically, my grandpa, my dad's side, was an entrepreneur, owned a major electronics company, and my grandfather was a professional traveling salesman. And it's just genetic,
wow.
and I've refined it, but. You know what? I just
maybe genetic, but take more credit for it. You know, you've got the personality, you've got the talent
right.
and everything. And some people, I believe real salespeople are born.
Yeah, my sister and I we could sell something to a dead person. We are the best sellers in the whole
really?
Wide world. And my parents aren't, but genetically somewhere there was because we could sell. It is born inbred.
It is born
inbred.
You know,
I could sell water at the river.
Yeah,
I could
yeah.
sell ketchup popsicles to a lady in a white pair of gloves.
Yeah, we know all the lines, don't we? Snow to an Eskimo.
Snow to an Eskimo. That's I'm going to have good. To use that. Yeah. That's real good. But anyway, I did that. And then at 10 years old, I was pushing my lawnmower down the street. And this guy, I was always driving by in this old Toyota, throwing papers out his windows. And he pulled up and he said, "Man, I see you walking miles with that lawnmower. Do you want a paper route?" And I said, "That's what you're doing?" And I said, "I don't think I'm old enough." And he said, "Well, how old are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm 10. He said, "Well, you got to be 14. But you know what? I see, you're more motivated than the adults that I constantly am throwing their paper routes for them because they never show up on time." He said, "You want to go out with me today?" So I go put my lawnmower up in my grandmother's, jump in his Toyota that had the front seat out and hundreds of papers laying on. So I'm sitting on top of papers. And I was a baseball player. So I was a big sports guy. So I was a pitcher. And he was like, "Let me tell you, you can make a lot of money if you put this paper right when they can just reach out their door and grab it. Right? They will tip the fire out of you." Right. So I used them like little dynamite sticks, chunking them and getting them up on the porch. Right. I ended up, I was by 10 on my paper route making $1,800 a month off of that.
Are you serious?
So I was getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, riding my bicycle over to wrap my papers, had to have them thrown by 6, ran home, took a shower, got to track first thing in the morning, then did school, then left school, went and handled all of my other sports activities, did my business. It was crazy. So by the time I was 10, my company, I was doing around $6,000 to $8,000 a month.
Are you serious?
Yes, it was crazy.
So you see, a person like this cannot not succeed. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
I mean, when you put so much effort and focus into what you're doing, you got to be successful.
Absolutely. I made all my hobbies my careers. The turning point, at 6 years old, my mother, on my birthday, gives me a Kodak Brownie camera. And actually, I can look back at my lineage because I'm a professional photographer. I do work with National Geographic and models and you name it. But the one thing that happened was I have an affinity for sunsets. And so I've shot some amazing sunsets all over the world. I've traveled for that magic golden hour. And so I can look back at the lineage. Here I am, what, 50 now? So what is that, 44 years of shooting? Avidly shooting. I wasn't just monkeying around. It was building itself. And that Christmas, 6 years old, I received my first guitar. And I'm a producer, and I play guitar and play piano and write. And so all – and then – a Cox airplane. You remember those airplanes that you could put the fuel in and ring?
Yes, yes.
And they had the string on it.
Oh, the string?
Yes.
She doesn't know what
no.
Oh, my
about.
God.
Okay, you know, before there was radio control airplanes, you know, models?
Yeah.
You had them, like, connected by
to the
string.
Rudder and the ailerons.
And you'd put, like, the motor would have this distinct sound to it.
Lovely.
Oh, it's crazy. It was amazing, right?
Oh, my God. And you do it in circles.
You
can do lifts.
It didn't fly anywhere.
It's crazy. But let me tell you, this is what it did. So 6 years old was a turning point because I became a pilot. I'm a search and rescue pilot for the 59th Squadron. I'm a professional photographer, and I've been in the entertainment industry doing music and scores and everything for, God, now 28 or 29 years.
So you haven't been wasting your life.
No, I made all my hobbies my career, so I never had to go to work.
That's awesome, great. Man. And there's an example for you people to be inspired by someone like Paul.
You know, that's it. You said the key word. If I can do one thing and do it right every day, I want to inspire one person.
Right?
Just
and
one.
And that's the thing, you know. It's people don't understand the value of one person, you know. Sometimes you see, like, wars and stuff. People die by the thousands, by the hundreds of thousands. And you go, but each one of these is a life.
That's it.
And you're talking about saving or helping one life at a time.
Well, think about the power of compounding. It's the same as saving money. So if you save a penny today and two tomorrow and three the next day, the amount of wealth you gain on compounding is crazy. So I look at wealth as in my relationships with people. So think about it. If I can inspire one of you all today and fire you up, look at how many people you'll interact with today that will feed off of that.
Right.
You're talking millions of people in small
that
amounts
you're gonna
of time.
Affect, right?
And then you think about it. Here we are, radio, TV, all this stuff. Now we're talking millions of people being inspired and fired up because you're lit on fire.
Yeah.
You know, I'm living the dream, baby.
Yeah, you are.
We're here in L.A.
Yeah, you are.
This is crazy.
And I must say, he's living the dream. And to top it all off, he's got a beautiful girlfriend.
Nice.
Hot as hell, right? And so that's what I'm saying. But someone like Paul deserves the best because you work hard, man. You know what you're doing. You radiate this energy that's like magnetic, you know.
Thank you. People are
attracted to you and everything.
I appreciate
that. So that's the thing, you know. I mean, you got to be positive, you know. Sometimes you get people that are just brooding all the time.
Man.
You know. And,
it just kills you.
And, yeah, and here you are, a person that's shot out of a cannon, you know. And,
it's the cocaine, I think. It's all the good. No, I'm kidding.
It's the smoke.
I don't think
off
any cocaine would make you
no,
like
no,
this.
No, 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 no. I came naturally wired.
Yeah, pure energy. Just raw, pure energy.
Insane.
Yeah. Were you always like this, or do you remember yourself?
I flipping came out of the womb like this.
So it's not like a conscious thing that one day you decided, okay, I hit bottom, now I'm going to be a new person.
You know what? I don't know if anybody could ever calibrate from there to here and be real. I don't see that how that could ever happen, because you either wake up fired up or not. And you can use, like, traffic was horrible coming here. Now, I could have been the total butthead and yelling and screaming at everybody coming in here all jacked up because I called you and let you know that I might be late.
Right.
And which I hate y'all, all of you all out there. No, I don't like to be late. And nor am I. I respect your time. And so bottom line is, I could have came in here just jacked up because I did 90 to 100 miles an hour on my little open spot. But it wasn't anxiety ridden. It was just because I was driving a Stingray. I was like, damn, I'm loving open road.
There you go.
So it's always about how you frame things. So I like to reframe things all the time in a situation that normally people would end up agitated or irritated because it's not going the way they think it should be going.
Right.
It's not. We don't have any control over that.
Yeah, reframing is a very powerful word. I'm studying Buddhism, and she's written a book called Reframing Your Attitude Towards Discomfort.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't, the word reframe kind of helps a lot because there's not a lot of judgment in it.
Exactly.
And if you just think of it a different way, like she got someone threw a brick at her head and someone's like, "That's those hooligans up there are doing it." And then the person to her right said, "Oh, I hear you can reach enlightenment when you get hit in the head." Just a different way of looking at the situation.
Absolutely.
So it's a great, powerful word, reframe.
It is. It's a fork in the road. Yes. So most people end up, you know, unfortunately, most of society are the hamsters on the wheel. So they're already pissed off at their
day.
They're pissed off.
True,
because
right?
Seriously, think about it.
Yeah.
You're working a job
Monday.
That you flip and hate.
Right.
You go through this cycle of Monday through Friday trying to dredge through things. You're trying to manage family. You're getting up, getting the kids ready, getting yourself ready, get off to school, get off to work, go do all the sports, do all the crap, then get the kids in bed, boom, boom, boom. It's the same methodical process, and it's boring as hell.
Right. Every day.
Oh, yeah. And that's why people get jacked up. Mm-hmm. Because there's no diversity. The things they dream of doing, the only reason those things aren't happening is because they're not planning for them. Mm-hmm. There is nobody else that controls your life. There will be nobody else that's ever going to care about what happens in your life. It's you that has to take control. You might have people that love and care about you, but as far as your daily run, that's your
it's
own.
It's up to you.
It's a solo mission,
it's
baby.
It's up to you.
Solo
there you go. We come here alone and we leave alone.
That's
you
it.
Know? And people have to understand that. You got to look out for yourself. You can't blame anybody for anything that happens
Period.
To you because shit happens to everybody,
it's
right?
Choice.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting from the day, and one of the reasons I'm fired up about what I do is because I know we have limited time here.
Mm-hmm.
And so from the day you're born to 70 years old, you only have 25,550 days to live.
Jesus Christ.
Does that sound like nothing?
Yeah, nothing.
So now let me blow your mind. This is what I do in my life coaching, and it's going to be in my book, Blueprints to Success, is that I literally, this mindset of we have all the time in the world, that this is why people never get anything done. They really, truly, honestly believe that just time's frozen in space. It's not. We are going to take a program and take it to the world that shows you your age now, when you want to retire, what you want to achieve within it, and how to get there. So think about it.
Wow, take that's your, the whole plan. And
take your age right now,
right.
Sam, and subtract it off of 70 and find out. So I figured mine out yesterday. I've got 8,900 days left until I'm 70.
Whoa.
And I'm
that
50.
That is such a mind
and
blow.
And I'm 50. So
right. But that's a lot of days, right?
It actually is.
It is. It just sounds it is like a, crazy low.
It's not really a lot. I mean, there's a lot that can happen
alive.
In 8,900.
Right.
So my plan is, so Blueprints to Success covers a 30-day plan, a 60-day plan, a 90-day plan, a 6-month plan, a 1-year plan, a 3-year plan, 5 years, 10
wow.
years, and then a 20-year outlook.
Right.
And so it's critical because here's the thing. How can you hit a target if you can't see it?
Mm-hmm.
It is critical. So I take the blindfold off of people so you can actually see reality of what you want to do. One of the things in my shows, though, that I do, and this is what's tragic about society. When you're a kid, you're dreaming about all these things. You're chasing each other around, cops, robbers. You're playing cowboy Indian, playing policeman, fireman, whatever. There's these things that start carving out who you are. You didn't have bills. You were able to just free flow and think and play. And then life hits. all of a sudden 18, you've got somebody pregnant, or you got to go out and you got to go out and get a place to live, and now you're buying Pampers and Gerber, and your plan and your ideas are shot. You go out and get some crappy job just to make it all work,
right?
And then you get locked in.
You
it's
do.
Hard. It's
you
hard
do.
To get back to school.
Hard to get back out of there, right?
Dude.
And wow, you know, because I'm seeing people struggling with that all the time,
yeah.
You know? It's like you got to get out of that rut, you know? If you're stuck in something, you got to reset,
you
right?
Nailed it.
The reset button.
The reset's interesting because you have to bottom your line out to do life out to do that, because you don't usually get to carry everything over. You,
right.
If you've got to erase everything to start that plan back over, and so obviously you can't erase your kids and all that, but you have to take the mindset of your hamster in the wheel and go, I'm better than that. I can do way more. I dream bigger than this. So in my shows, I ask everybody to write down on a piece of paper, what is it that you used to dream about being?
It's really funny because I used to sit in the bathtub and speak in pretending to be on the radio in a shampoo bottle. And I never thought, my thing is, I never thought if the tragedy of my life would be if I didn't follow that. And
yeah.
I'm one of the weird ones that thought I couldn't even imagine not going that route.
Wow.
But that's, I think, in the minority of
yeah.
people that just think that's outrageously stupid. You know
but
what
that's
I mean?
Focus.
It is,
know?
But
it
it's
is.
Like,
it
I didn't even,
focus.
Is it, or
manifesting.
Right, or naivete a bit, because I didn't even think, I was like, how could I possibly not go for that? And maybe
right.
that is a strong, driven feeling.
That's how usually the stars, people that
yeah,
have made
yeah, there
was it,
just not even an option
exactly,
that I wouldn't.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
but,
like, I don't know what else I would have done.
Exactly.
If I didn't do this.
Yeah, it just, yeah. it didn't seem possible that that would, but that again, I was well cared for. I was the baby. I was, you know, there was a lot of things going my way.
Right.
So I understand why. And then again, I haven't had kids yet. And at 34, that was because I couldn't imagine not wanting to continue.
Right.
So, you know, you sacrifice and you give up. But it's like interesting that I look around and I see people, like you're saying, the day-to-day job. And it's like a different world to me. I can't
yes.
even imagine.
I know.
And it's very sad. Yeah.
Lot.
It is sad.
Very sad.
You can see them. So
tragic.
When I drive down the road, like I was coming here, I could see everybody. We're locked up in traffic, and I can look at somebody and tell if their demeanor's shot to
mm-hmm.
live in hell.
Mm-hmm.
You can just see it in their face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're yelling at people behind you, and you're
yeah.
getting cut off. And, you know, you're not at that point, you've lost complete control of your life.
Yeah.
That's true.
You have.
Of
you've
yourself,
lost complete
too.
Control. And so it's critical.
You're just reacting now.
That is. Reactive stuff is what sets your life bad. So slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you
so
go.
So I want a tattoo on my toes, and I want on the left foot, I wanted to say slow, and on the right foot down, because I tend to go too fast and fall over, to be honest. But I want to see it slow down, and that's like my mantra.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's hard for people like us who have incredible energy to slow
incredible
the F
energy.
Down.
Well, the key is to that. It's not a bad factor. I don't want to slow down.
Exactly. I don't either.
I want to direct it.
Yeah, yeah, more control.
So that's the key right there. So I was asked on an interview with the BBC last week, how they read my bio, and they said, how the hell have you lived 10 lives already? And how do you control all of that? You know what? I hate to say I don't think about it, because I obviously do, but it's in such flow that
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like swimming out to the wave and just riding the
mm-hmm.
wave in.
Yeah, that's manifesting.
It
yeah,
is manifesting.
It is.
And I think it, and it becomes, I learned that power early. So you ask about if I was this way always. I realized a power I had even early on in my first thoughts of the things that I wanted in life. And when I started thinking about it, they started happening.
Yeah.
I was applying energy towards it. So it's reaching the universe and tying to those things. And it was just bam, bam, bam. And I realized, damn, there's a serious power here. And I got hungry for it. I started tapping into it. And I worked on Tony Robbins programs, Tom Hopkins, Zig Ziglar, all these cats back in the old days. That really dates me, Zig Ziglar.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And so these were the guys that were forging ahead for guys like you and I that wanted to
right.
have more
right.
and to figure out how to direct that traffic, how to attach to other people, inspire other people to do great things. Because here's the thing. It's not all about me. I've had amazing teams all over the world. My company's been in 168 countries. It's been amazing. And
yeah.
so to be able to attach to other people in other languages through translators is amazing, because
yeah.
going over to like Czech Republic, where they really don't like America, and be loved and they're chanting your name in shows and stuff.
That's so funny.
It's crazy. They're like, Superman.
I went to Prague. They didn't like Americans. It's weird. You're absolutely
really?
Right. Yeah, it was the only country I visited in Europe. I did a whole year traveling abroad. I felt like the Czech didn't really love us that much. But
yeah.
we had just declared declared war and Bush was president, so I get it. I wouldn't like me either. I got
absolutely. The thing that they liked about me is that I was working from afar helping these people make $400 or $500 a month, sleep 10 people in a 400 square foot flat. And here's the thing. They had presidential suites for me when I got there. And you know what I did? I said, go get your money back, and I'm going to sleep on the floor with you all.
Wow, cool.
And so I went and lived the life they lived and became very grounded with the people. How can you help the people if you don't know what they're going through? It's a perspective that you can't give them a solid answer on.
That's why Cory Booker stayed in the New Jersey slums, because he's like, well, how do I know if I'm not living there?
Exactly. Yeah. And you find solutions that you wouldn't normally be at if you weren't on the front line. I'm a leader that will dig the foxhole with you while the bullets are coming over the head, and I will stay on the front line. I don't rule from a roost. Mm. And so the one great thing about my teams is that I'm right there with you. Mm-hmm. Team stands for what? Together, everybody achieves more. Bam.
Yeah, there you go. Have you seen Hacksaw Ridge, by the way?
No.
Yeah, you should, because that's about a guy who would be in the front lines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and actually saved so many people. Wow. It's amazing, a true story. But you got to see that. You'll really connect to it because it's bravery, it's valor.
I love
it.
You know?
Yeah.
It is about saving people. You know, one of the things, I'm a rescue diver, and so a lot of my work is in the ocean. So I'm one of 15 in the world that does great white studies. I do a lot of out-of-cage stuff. I just did Fiji and did, I have to show you the film, 37 bull sharks 107 feet down, and they're just all over me. No cages, nothing. And it looked like, this is what's crazy, somebody else recognized this, because I just feel in my own when I'm around all these apex creatures, and everybody asks me, aren't you scared to death? Actually, no. You want to know how I'm not real scared? Is that at 107 feet, I really needed to pee real bad. And I was able to.
The important thing.
Exactly. I realized, there it was. And this is the mindset. This is what's crazy. I'm 107 feet down. I've got 37 full-size bull sharks swimming close enough that they're bumping into me. Whoa. And I'm thinking about peeing.
Yeah, your wee-wee.
Oh,
your
wee-wee. Yeah, my frick. My frick was coming out.
Your frick was coming out underwater.
And I realized I had reached this point in life that there's no anxiety at it, but the beauty of it is I've got 11 saves in the water over the last 8 years. 11 people that were going to drown came home to tell the story.
Wow, there you go. You know, yeah, Mr. Rescue here.
I'm loving it.
You should, yeah, you should be like, have that maybe a big R on your chest.
No, I've got
Rescue.
I've got
that. Superman.
Why would I put an R on there?
That is amazing.
We got to take a picture of that later. Explain what that is.
It's okay, so, and you know, the Superman logo, when he takes off his shirt, Clark Kent, he's got that tattooed on his chest with like claw marks, which is fantastic.
The battle between good and evil.
Wow.
You know, the rips on your uniform.
And I wanted slow down on tattooed. He's got Superman logo on his. Mine sucks.
You got to wear like transparent shirts all the time.
Or just rip it open.
I don't. Well, here's the thing. I don't want everybody knowing that I'm Superman. Clark Kent. That's we already gave it away, didn't we?
Take off the glasses. I don't know you.
And then I'm done. Isn't that crazy?
It's so stupid.
Even Superman didn't have a tattooed on him.
We never knew, because it's right. We never knew.
You know what's funny is that on a sternum, when they do a tattoo like that, I'll guarantee he tattooed my sternum. He was hitting bone.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm just saying, there's nothing there.
So this is what's funny. In 1,000 years, when I'm dead and my body's been dug up somewhere, they're going to say that they found the Ark of Life.
Superman,
we found the body of Superman.
Right.
It's going to be a whole... I hope to God I'm able to look back on the planet and see some archaeological dig and they find the bones and go, it was real. It wasn't a comic. We found him.
It is Superman. It's in his bones.
That is hilarious.
Oh my God, it's classic.
That's funny.
That's very funny.
It's funny.
So anyway, now you know.
Now you know.
So for those of you joining us now, we're talking to Paul Paget. We were also supposed to talk to a phone guest, but for the second time, he never called. This was the second
schedule. He's a musician, right?
Yeah.
How can he?
Yeah, he
was up till 5 a.m. probably and still asleep.
It's probably the phone number who's calling who thing again, or it's a time zone thing. I don't know what's going on.
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Or he hates us.
I'm a musician, so let me tell you firsthand. So this is the dichotomy of why I got rid of bands and started producing everything on my own, is that they don't show up on time. They've always got excuses. There's always some crap going on. There's some, a girl did this, or we were up late doing this, or we're partying on that. And you know what? That's all a bunch of bull crap excuses. Because here's the thing. If you're really, and here's where I really analyze that. how far are you with
yeah,
your
yeah,
career?
Yeah. How long, how's that doing it for
how,
you?
How is
how's
that working out for you?
Right.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, everybody. Yeah. Let me share something with you. If you're not up letting people know what the hell you're doing, they don't know
they
who
don't
you
know
are.
They don't know what you're doing.
They have no idea.
Exactly.
So you got to get out, high five, slap some asses, kiss some babies, and do the politicking, baby. That's why you got to be on these shows.
Exactly. And I think that goes for everything, for socializing, for dating. You got to be out there.
Yeah,
you
my
know?
Rabbi said 99% of life is showing up, right?
You
yeah.
nailed it. So this is the key word. So I was asked, how does all these amazing things happen in your life? You've got planes, you've got just all elements of my life are great. And everybody looks at it as amazing. Here's the thing. It's not that amazing. It's the factor of it's just my life. I'm just living it and dialing it in. But here was the key component. I've always showed up.
Yeah, right.
That was it.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing you had to do was show up.
Just show up.
It's so interesting because there's a famous story in Jay-Z's book that I read, and it was about how he was in the slums like trying to go and do some rap and put down a song, and he asked his friend to come with him, and his friend didn't show up, and he flaked, and he was like, whatever, man, it's not a big deal, and he said, if you ever do it again, I'll never work with you. He said, I won't work with you anymore, and he's like, fine, I promise, and to this day, they're on tour together, and Bam. It was like, even he was nothing, the idea of showing up was like outrageous that he wouldn't have shown up.
It's
like Michael Jordan. He showed up first to practice. He left last from practice.
That's it.
And he's Michael Jordan.
Right. Now, let me ask you, say, do you think this comes from childhood, from upbringing, when people are like, I mean, some people like you and me, for example, it's very important for us to be there on time. And I'm always on time because I also estimate my drive pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
So if people can't do that, get a friggin' GPS, but you got to be there on time. And, you know, I feel really strong about this because I run a radio station. I see about 35 people walk through here every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know how many people are late or they don't show up or they a guest will show up 10 minutes before the show's over?
70%.
I mean, it's a frosted flake situation. It's so flaky. And I got to be honest, one of my biggest regrets in life is kind of being flaky.
Oh,
and I don't think I realized, and to be honest, until I turned like 34, that I was, what you said, that was showing such disrespect.
It really does.
The disrespect that I thought, well, it's just me. I'm going to be the one who's anxious. I'll make up for it. It's all on me. And it's like, no, the disrespect to the other person's time is so horrible. So it's like, and I'm still trying to do it. It's something I'm working on. I'm not great at it, but I hate the flakiness I see it as not just flaky and innocent, it's disrespectful.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I got to tell you. I mean, I actually experimented with another radio station that I started, and it was a different business model, so I had to rely on people more. And people, for some reason, that industry, people were not showing up on time or not showing up at all. And I said, I can't run a business like this. I closed the radio station down.
Yeah.
I said, I can't work with people like this.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know?
Well, we're in Hollywood, too, and people think this...
It's LA, right?
This casually late bullshit.
Oh, God, the LA
that
time.
That pisses me off when somebody says that, because here's the thing. It actually says, I don't give a shit about
that's
you.
Right.
I
that's
disrespect
right.
you.
It's aggressive. I mean, it's
yeah.
not
it's
even
a
passive.
Fuck you.
Yeah, it is. That's an aggressive stance of I don't care about your time.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm from the East Coast and there's a difference in the pacing.
Oh,
and the LA is so... Whatever.
Ray chill,
yeah,
dude.
Whatever, dude. And I love that, but it's also like, dude, I got to get shit done. You know what I mean?
It's
interesting.
It burns my ass. So here, let me share with you. I'm going to give you some life coaching. I'm not even going to charge any of y'all out there today. Here's the key. So if you got to be somewhere at 9 o'clock in the morning and you're 55 minutes out normally, I'll tell you what, add 30 minutes to it and you'll show up on time or early.
Mm-hmm.
And if you show up early, here's the thing. Those people are going to respect you. They're going to talk great about you. And if you're trying to pursue something in life, don't you need positive press, not bad press, instead of somebody going, man, that person shows up late all the time.
Yeah, when are you going to ask that guy back?
Yeah.
My dad shows up early. He's an attorney, and he shows up early also to plan who sits where at the
Damn
table.
Because right.
you get control if you show up early.
Boy, you got that right.
Yeah. I mean, you really get – there's kind of a devious part of it, too, like control the room. You know, he sits where he wants and plans where everyone else is going to sit.
I've always said, I show up before I even walk in the room.
Whoa, that's heavy, dude. That's super heavy,
people
man.
People say they feel my energy as I'm out front of the building coming
dude,
in.
Dude, that's real creepy.
That's
creepy. I love it.
It's really cool because the universe offers a frequency. That's why you have the apex guys like the Michael Jordans and all these guys that are women that are just amazing beyond words is they've tapped tap into that universal frequency.
Yeah, Oprah. She's like living on it.
Totally.
Yeah.
And so you can actually stay there. It's not, you don't have to just visit it occasionally. And see, most everybody out there, you've had some epic moment in your life that was just transcending. That was the universal frequency. That's why you've got a big old chubby over it.
Exactly.
Is that
a big old chubby?
Is that,
I love it. I got a boner over this. Yeah. I got to do it more.
And so I got addicted to the boner.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Somebody can get an eye poked out.
Exactly.
And so, or pink eye, one of the two. So anyway, bottom line is that I love that high.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no other drug on the planet that's as good as that high because it's so organic.
Yeah,
and
real.
Orgasmic.
And it can be anything. It could be when you like to fix and take apart a car engine.
That's it.
Could be like when I went and did an audition and it was like for a little feature film and I got out and I literally shimmied in front of no one. And I was there's the universal frequency.
It is.
Yeah. Very, very interesting.
The universal frequency is happening right now in this room.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Oh, we're riding this shit hard and heavy. This is a 100-foot wave and we're rolling up to get a margarita when we hit the beach.
It's Margaritaville. That's my dream.
Bam.
That's my dream.
Oh, yeah. This is good.
Man, I'm really getting distracted by technical stuff here on the website, so I'm sorry, but let's continue.
No,
Paul,
we're good.
I mean, so I'm like sitting here texting while I'm doing my own show, but I had to.
That's okay. Hey, so we're gonna carry this.
Exactly. We're talking about
we're a team
boners.
Effort
we're
here.
Fine. We're fine.
There you go.
No, we're a team effort. Do your thing. Fly the plane, brother.
We're fine. We're cool.
So Paul Paget, we thought we saw everything with a couple of guests we've had before, but you've definitely accomplished a lot in your life already.
It's been good.
Now, how's family? Do you have any kids? Do you have children?
I do. I've got a 32-year-old son that was an oopsie-daisy at 16 and a half years old. He's amazing, a brilliant talent.
Uh-huh.
My daughter is 22. She just graduated Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising.
Fit 'em.
And working with Vans, doing all their global merchandising. And my youngest son graduated MI on a drum scholarship, and then he's at Berkeley right now.
Wow.
And pretty amazing. And I'm fresh out of a 23-year marriage.
Nice.
And moving on. I'm taking command of my life. And she's amazing. She has been amazing. She's an advanced life support NICU nurse. And we've just kind
of... Anyone in that line of work is amazing.
I always said those. You could walk in on those floors and see the angels.
The halos are already there. Yeah, yeah.
All of those women that work that. It takes a special being. So
it's like a person who works at hospice. I'm like, I see your halo. Yeah. I see your halo.
And we have it was tough, but... Because I had such a different lifestyle. She's the go to work and manage serious stuff and then get home late. So she's leaving at 5 in the morning, getting home at 8:30 at night. And you know the entertainment industry. You just got to be out there doing it. It's a crazy life.
You know, people move here. They hang out at their shingle saying, you know, I'm this, I'm that.
Right.
I'm an actor. And they wait for people to come to them.
And they go to coffee shops to see. Flipping and they look around just to see who's looking. Yeah,
exactly.
It's posers.
They wait.
Yeah. They're posers.
Like you said, you have to show that you're out there, you know.
Yeah.
You got to show up, you know.
I think that was what actually started tearing it all apart is that the things I need to do and be didn't resonate well with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that, each to their own, but I always felt that there was another element and another calling that I was missing part of. I always felt like I was achieving 90%
and not
the other 10. So, you know, it's like the experiment where you can throw a handful of fleas in a jar, put the lid on it, and you'll hear it. It sounds like popcorn. They're jumping up and down and they're hitting the lid. Walk away, go make a coffee and come back and you'll think they're all dead. And they're actually crawling all over each other. Screw the lid off of it and tap the side of the jar and they'll start jumping. This is a real experiment. They will not jump out of the jar.
Whoa.
Because their brain has calibrated
to being in that jar,
to be at that height.
Oh wow!
And it will. They not one of them will jump out. And that's what happens in society: is that you keep jumping every day, hit your head so many times that you've already set a boundary that's buried in your subconscious.
That's true.
It's buried. And so take the flipping lid off. You're free to do whatever you want in life. There are no boundaries. You create your own boundaries in life.
What are you scared of? What scares you?
Nothing.
There has to be. Is there anything, even like the dark or like scary clowns?
You know what? I don't have any fear.
Nothing.
Wow.
Zero.
Fearless.
I have no fear.
Did you have fear that you have overcome, like through childhood Or were you always sort of like, no fear?
I think the biggest fear I had was not waking up every day to push forth on the things I dreamed of doing.
Yeah.
And so if that's considered
so
a
maybe
fear.
Maybe death.
That might be considered a fear.
Yeah.
Stalling
out. Yeah, and I've had those moments. I've had the stagnant areas of my life, and which were horrible. You know, that's the one thing. You look at me at this stage of my life, and I'm always very motivated, full of energy, but I do know the other side. And I've had some very dark areas in my life.
You can't have this without that.
No.
It's a yin-yang.
It always happens. Yeah. I mean, it's like I think everybody needs to get to a certain point in their life where life shows you that you're not in charge here.
Damn right.
It slaps you in the face and says, look up, and only deal with what you can change and what you can control.
That's it.
Right?
You know, I think that's where I'm at right now, being fresh out of a divorce, is that I'm retooling everything. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because this is, I've been holding off on my book, Blueprints to Success, because there was an area that was resonating in my gut that I wasn't done yet. Mm-hmm. Mm. And so I now know where it's at.
Yeah,
because I had to flatline my life to retool it and take command again. You can't fully take command of something unless you have completely dismantled it. It's like building a hot rod. A frame off restoration is a frame off restoration. You can't do a full restoration if you do not pull the body off the frame.
Mm. Right.
And so I have stripped my ass down to the frame.
Mm. I'm
in that process right now. This just happened in August.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's very fresh, but...
And you're reframing it. Like, you don't seem like, oh, yes, it just happened in August. It's like, this is an opportunity. I'm reframing it as something I get to retool. Like, that's... You could have looked at divorce as, like, a real failure, or you reframe it.
Don't get me wrong. There's sad areas, because I never wanted to be the guy to get divorced. I never wanted to be without my family. And there were just a lot of distractions, a lot of different things going on, and then trying to merge a couple lives together when there's such a dichotomy of what their dreams are to yours. And I just, reaching 50 changed everything for me.
Wow.
I realized I'm on the back nine now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't have the same mindset at 21 where you feel like you've got that, at 30 I can do this, at 40 I can do that. In 10 years, I'm going to be 60.
Yeah.
Not that that's old. I'm an ageless person, so I don't look at age. I know some of the youngest 90-year-olds on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I mean, just full of energy.
Yeah.
And full of life. And so I just wanted to make a decision that I thought would serve her ultimately. And I know she probably does not see that or feel that right now, but I promise I know that that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And time will show that. But for me, and I think that's what kind of muddled everything, is that I knew I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the key, is when you know you're ready for something, pull the trigger.
Yeah. Even if it's 23 years in and this is not right, do something about it.
Just don't
be complacent.
Damn right. Because here's the thing. Is your life worth giving up?
Right. Is it the flea in the jar? Do you want to just not get out of the
jar? It's interesting, because thinking about that essence of how brains work, even from us to the smallest creatures on the planet, is that tribesmen, hunters, Indians back in the day, they would get their kill. I didn't ever see any refrigerators in teepees, so you wondered how the hell they kept all this meat.
Right.
You stop and think about it. I grew up in Oklahoma, so I was around all the five civilized tribes.
Whoa.
And so it's 33 feet. So they catch whatever they're hunting, chop it all up, and then they pull it. They put it on a string and pull it to 33 feet hanging from a tree. Interesting, because if they kept it on the ground, the flies would have got it and the maggots would have been all over it.
And then the animals would have got it, right?
Flies will only go to 32 feet.
Whoa.
They figured it out.
Really?
So at 33 feet, there wouldn't be one fly on the meat, and a foot down from that, if you hung another piece of meat, it would have larvae coming off of it after a few days.
Wow.
So it's really interesting how they first all figured that out.
I'd
like to be the tribesman that went, oh, the
Yeah.
And he said, we raise it to 33 feet. We're good.
What's weird is 33 is my lucky number. And I'm like, whoa, there you go.
He's like,
whoa.
That's
and he just said, hey, let's hang this to 33 feet. And that's in native, by the way.
Do
for
they
any
really
natives.
Talk like that?
There's some native tribes. When they do it though with their tongue. It's
like a clicking sound. And a lot of African tribes have a lot of the clicking in the mouth sound.
Yeah, but you're like snapping.
I'm doing it because I don't know the... Yeah. Oh, okay. Because they do it fluidly, like it's got a roll off of a British tone or something.
It's an, and a lot of African tribes have that clicky sound.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know. When I was in Africa, I heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually got some type of communication to it. So I guess it'd be kind of like what Morse code would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Either that or just letters, like we pronounce letters. They have pronunciation from other parts of the throat.
Exactly.
And, yeah, or the tongue. Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
It's an F.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Oh, or whatever. Yeah, boy, I mean, that'd take a long time for a damn conversation. You'd be clicking and popping just to say hello. It's like when I went to, I was in Europe and I was on a big speaking campaign. And so I roll up and I've got just this amazing auditorium there. The architecture's crazy. And so I get up there and the translator, he was from Czech Republic and it was tough to talk to and listen to. But I told every, I said, I walked up and I said, tell everybody, I said, hi. And he goes,
what?
And I'm thinking, what the hell did he just tell them? And I looked over at him and I went up behind the mic and I said, don't ad lib for me. Just say what I say to say. And he said, I did.
Wow.
Like,
it just takes longer.
The hell?
He probably had to like
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
There you go.
Can you imagine spelling out each word?
Oh, my God. Wow. Oh, so that's what kills you. So what my hour would normally be on stage is 3 hours translated.
Wow.
So to just, because I get that energy flow. So think about that, how hard that was to, all of a sudden you've got this energy push of a couple sentences and then you got to stop.
And think.
I mean, literally, slam the brakes on when you got this massive momentum going. Stop. And he says it. Push it back to the floor.
It's a lot of stop and go.
Holy mackerel. And I was speaking 14-hour days.
Wow.
Seven translators. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And so, absolutely, I love it being in America.
Yeah, a lot easier.
I can just roll it up and it's said and done.
Yeah.
Catch the archive because I don't know what the hell I said.
Yeah, well, this is it, man. America is the place to be, you know.
Mm.
Paul Paget, how can people find you?
Mm.
We haven't really covered. You know what? We still have a few minutes. I'm not gonna rush.
Here,
this.
let me run you through it real quick.
What do you want? Do you have anything you're doing now? Your book, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, promote whatever you have.
Okay. Well, first off, we've got Rockers for Wildlife Radio. So that's every Wednesday. That's at 12 p.m. And what you'll do is go to latalkradio.com
Pacific
time. Go to the video channel, click on Rockers for Wildlife, and on Wednesdays you can just click the show right there. But my archives are at the bottom. So you got the bio, and then you've got the description of Rockers for Wildlife. At the bottom is all my archives. And we've had some amazing stars. I mean, we've been star-laden. We've had some amazing shows. Then I've got a book coming out, Blueprints to Success, hopefully be slated for summer of 2017. I'm writing the final parts of this transition in my life. Then I've got a ton of work that I'm doing in the ocean. We just planted 157,000 new corals off of the reef in Florida. I stayed 2 years out in Florida, just got back in February. We've now proven that coral can actually grow back very fast. Mm. It doesn't take thousands or hundreds of thousands of years.
Oh, wow.
We were taking harvested 3-inch pieces, and in 9 months they'd grown to a foot and a half, and then we were replanting them back onto the reef. Think about this. Most people don't stop to think about oxygen. 80% of our oxygen comes from the ocean.
Really?
So, oh, God, yes. So think about this. Mm. We're a water planet, not a land planet, people.
Right.
And so I always say when I go into these big meetings talking about my environmental stuff, is I ask everybody before I ever start, how many of you all like to breathe? How many love oxygen? Raise your hands. And I won't say a word until everybody acknowledges. And so then they acknowledge it and they'll go, great, I have a plan to continue that process. Y'all want to hear about it? Would you like to keep breathing? And so then you've got their attention because people don't stop about it. It's an involuntary act to breathe. Well, think about that. I do this when I'm teaching diving. I turn somebody's air off underwater so they can experience the last bit of air coming out of their hose.
Oh, my God.
So think about that. In life, that's indicative of life because there will be a point when our breath gets shallow and then it ends.
Right.
And we don't ever know when that moment's going to come.
Right.
So we are, I just met all the leaders.
You turn the air back on, right?
I do turn the air back on. Unless I really don't like them.
I'm thinking about that guy
it's
down
like,
there.
It's like, damn, they drowned. What the hell happened? I just met with IUCN in Hawaii. We had 193 of the biggest leaders of the biggest countries in the world and Obama there. This is the turning point of humanity. we have reached the tipping point now.
That's why I'm like, do I have kids or not? Because the world's going to hell.
Let me tell you something.
The planet is bad.
I'd never bring another kid.
That's what a lot of people say.
No.
That's what a lot of people say. It's overpopulated. The planet's going.
It is literally the planet.
But you got. But you know, I want to be a mom.
But here's the thing.
You got to
roll the dice.
I know.
Go live it. Because here's the thing. You can't live in fear of it.
Right. But there is a real argument for that.
There is a real argument. But here's the beauty of it. And as I told all the government officials, I said, here's the thing. All the rhetoric bullshit that y'all been saying for years and years. You all knew that this climate problem existed in the 60s. But because of greed and all the shit you all steal from the planet, it's all about money. It's not about that. I told them. I met with NASA. And I spanked their ever-loving asses. I walked in and I said, here's the thing. You get $17 trillion a year for funding to find a planet 100 million light
just
years away.
Just fix this one.
So here's an idea. I'll change my view on it when I see a space shuttle that fits 7.3 billion people on it.
Right.
Because I only know 20 people are going to make that mission at best. Yeah. And so you all have given up on our planet.
Right.
You've given up on it. Because here's the thing. If you haven't, cut me half of that. I'll bring the top scientists in the world that have action plans to save this planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, that fell on deaf ears. They're cutting shit. They've already realized we're doomed.
Yeah, they're going to Mars.
They've checked us off. So, a ton of musical stuff. We have just created School of Rock has, School of Rock. It's the biggest school in the world. 186 schools, 9 countries. And I'm working with Peter DeStefano from Porno for Pyros. Mm-hmm. He wrote Shrek soundtracks. He worked with...
He was on your show.
Yes.
A couple times.
Ridley Scott wrote stuff with him. But anyway, bottom line is we've got School of Rock happening, a master series class that Peter and I are doing. So if anybody believes in getting music back to the kids, we need help.
Amen.
So please contact me directly, Paul Paget, that's P-A-D-G-E-T-T, at Yahoo, at ymail.com. Paul Paget at ymail.com, or go to my Rockers for Wildlife website, or Facebook me, Paul Lee Paget. We need help. We need to save these kids. We need to bring music back into the schools, and we are doing it, period.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Paul.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much
amazing.
For joining us.
Thank you all. Appreciate you.
You're welcome back anytime.
Whew.
Everybody, check out the show. It's on video, on our video channel, Wednesdays at 12 Pacific, Rockers for Wildlife Radio, and it's an amazing thing. Keep continuing to inspire people. You're
thank
amazing.
You. Appreciate
amazing.
It.
Amazing.
Thank
course.
You all.
Tori, thank you so much.
Anytime.
Always, and thanks everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Adios.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.